So hello, welcome to the session on service provider opportunities with Link. My name is Roy King. I'm in the Link product marketing group. I hope you're enjoying our show here and having fun. And I've got my colleague, Michael. Michael is Michael is here to take the hard questions. This often may be directed at me. And since I have a policy only to accept questions from the first two rows, I think I'm in good shape. maybe if we get to, if we have some time at the end, we'll open the floor up. But let me get started, and again, just saying thank you, and given that this is such a small audience, more than happy to take questions and interruptions throughout there. So let's use this time most effectively for you. But I'm, you know, this is a 200-level session. We're not going to get incredibly deep. As I said, if they're hard questions, I've got some people who can help answer. But I really wanted to just make sure that within our partner ecosystem, we level set. On the announcements that were made today and what that means and what it doesn't mean, and really sort of try to clear the air, dispel some of the myths, rumors, and speculations that are going around to the best of our ability. So with that, let me jump in. And kind of things that I want to talk about today, we'll see what you want to talk about. But I want to talk about, again, sort of what does the new UC or universal communications mean? Does that really change the partner value proposition or opportunities for you within that landscape? So we just want to put that together and again, just sort of set the record straight. And then also talk about, well, what are the building blocks? If I'm a service provider or a partner looking at leveraging Link and Skype, how do I think about it? What are the building blocks for my business that I should really be putting together? As I said, we won't be able to go into each of your individual business plans in this session, but hopefully we can give you some insights into the way that we're thinking about it and what we can do to help. And finally, just talking about, you know, how do we win this market together going forward and some of the ways that we think we can continue to work together and the resources that we've had. And it's especially in this section, I would love to get your feedback and input. What can we do a better job at? What tools and resources do you need? How can we be better partners for you? So with that, let me just start by saying thank you. You know, the incredible momentum that we've had in the market that Gurdeep talked about today, you know, he even said it would not be possible without the partners here. And we recognize that, and it's been, I think a fabulous success on both sides of the way that this the business has grown from, double digits over, 7+ years. So again, thank you for all of that, and we want to continue that great partnership. So I will level set on this idea of universal communications and what it means and sort of how do we think about that as we go forward. One of the really unique, for me, the most exciting and interesting thing about this is not necessarily the personal aspect and the fact that we are now kind of having a service that's consistent across your work and home life, and being able to reach the hundreds of millions of users on the Skype public network, which are often they could be your consumers, they could be your suppliers, your partners, et cetera, and we want to continue to grow that and to have massive reach. And as you said, we want to get to 1 billion people, and to do that, we've got this service, this free service in Skype that really addresses that market. But what is most special, and again, in our particular, in our strategy, the really exciting thing for me, and again, what separates us from a lot of the other alternative platforms out there, is that we can reach down from the small mom and pop shop around the corner to the startup in their garage, all the way to the largest multinational enterprise. And typically, we've been building, whether it's client applications or server applications. Typically our mindset had been thinking about we're going to design a service for you, the individual, or maybe we're going to design a service for your group. And within that network, within that defined set of people, we'll do some things to make collaboration and stuff easier and better. But the minute you want to go outside of that and communicate with some other people, well, then you've got to have a whole new set of tools, a whole new set of identity, a whole new set of things to learn. And so we really see this idea of the universal communications around building up this one network that has everybody in it that you need to connect with and collaborate with, and can do so in a very rich way. And so with video, with integrated business applications, the ability to kind of light up communications within the workplace And doing that in having a design focus that says we're going to build one thing that'll work for everybody. Now, obviously, it's not going to be one size fits all. But philosophically and as an approach, we are trying to expand that network and to be able to have anyone who joins the Link, a Link user on day one, they instantly have access to hundreds of millions of people that they can work with, even if they're a business of one. So that's sort of the Uber statement and the really what we think is the sort of powerful direction that gives us headroom to continue this rate of growth over the next 5+ years. So we're very excited about that in general. But let me talk, what has that done to the partner opportunity? And how do we think about that, specifically in the way that we really monetize this in the business or the commercial sector? And so we have, one of the things that's been very, very clear from the very beginning of OCS days was when a customer really wants to embrace it and they get it and they have that light bulb go off and they decide they want to go forward with Link, it's not good enough just to get Link. They've got to, it affects their network, it affects the other hardware, they look at opportunities to upgrade their software, consulting services, professional services, support. All of these things that really make a solution have to go along with just the core Link service as well. And so we really want to enable the ecosystem to be better aligned around how that it can bring those different components and assets together using Link as a base, but really being able to differentiate themselves by tailoring that solution to the particular to your particular target market. And this is going to look really different for a small business in Western Europe than it does for a multinational enterprise. That gives you really infinite flexibility to kind of design and customize what that bundle or package of services and devices and support is going to be in order to really give the customers the value that they want to get out of their Link deployment. So there's certainly still a lot of space for partners that aren't necessarily this Uber aggregator and being able to sort of do everything. We have a lot of specialist companies that really focus on a particular piece of the hardware ecosystem, or a great ISV that has an incredible application, a systems integrator with deep knowledge on network diagnostics for Link. All of these players continue to have an important role in our ecosystem, and the work that we're doing to continue to sort of grow this solution orientation is really to create that socket, to create that umbrella which we build the market for those individual services. So we see, again, you being able to continue to grow your business and your offerings with Link, as I say to everybody's a service provider now, whether you're using your own hosted or managed Link deployment or you're reselling Office 365. That is the way that customers are wanting to consume and work with, and purchase from you these services that they want. So this really, again, this idea of being able to sort of take the core product, the base of the standard product, and wrap around with all these value-added services gets you in puts you into the best alignment with the Microsoft field in our partner programs and elsewhere, where we do a very good job of selling the license. We have a very strong, we've seeded the market, as I said, 60% of all enterprises, according to an independent analyst study by T3i, 60% of enterprises have already or plan to deploy Link. That's a lot of sockets to go out there and really only the beginning of, early stage of usage. So being able to kind of come in with those, deploy, support, and really serve those customers' unique needs is an incredible business opportunity that we, again, want to continue to work with you to make that successful. And a lot of our, our partner programs and incentives and things are all kind of being oriented around that particular go-to-market. So we're helping partners who can really extend the value that we can provide with the Link platform and also, reach new markets and customers. So a lot of opportunity there at a macro level. And again, this is meant to be a sort of infinitely customizable frame. So again, you can take what is your strengths, what are your particular business models, whether that's in the network services, in professional services, hardware, et cetera. These are things that you can bundle for a particular segment of the market. So we can come back and talk about specific components of the solution or how other partners are sort of putting these things together. As I mentioned, in in SMB, well, actually, I'm going to skip ahead and bring it up in this context. So I want to unfold or sort of do a couple of clicks down on universal communications and how you as partners can think about that opportunity. And the way that we're framing, and these are not, I wouldn't say they're our best marketing work, but they hope to sort of give you what the promise and the value that we're trying to deliver to each of these different segments. Without talking about the products yet or the services, what is it really that we're trying to accomplish across these different audiences? And as you know, you're all very familiar with the Skype service. It's ubiquitous now. There are some optional calling plans in there, but if you're familiar with the Skype, but it's really about a service that's targeted at individuals, at that home and student user. And our efforts there is really around reach and engagement. So we're going to continue to sort of make that available worldwide and really sort of grow the network of people that are connected. But in the business side, we're starting off, we see this need for a very standardized service that's about simplicity, that's about an integrated experience where I can go to one place and I can get everything I need bundled together, provisioned together, all on one bill. And it's really targeted at small and mid-sized businesses, maybe teams and groups within large enterprises where it's not an IT org making a decision, broadly, but it's a manager who's like, I need my sales force to be mobile, and I'm going to go in and I want to light that up. And I don't want to have to deal with the complexity and the different configurations. Just give me something that I can start using today. That's where we see, again, a great opportunity in that small to mid-market base of being able to sell these standardized options at very high volumes. But that is a very different sale than what we experience in the enterprise. And the requirements there lead us to a very different motion, a very different sort of perspective, where the key requirements there is around the complete feature set, the ability to have a lot of complexity with legacy systems, and extensibility with line of business systems. And really, this idea of giving businesses control. And that's one of the key things we believe we'll continue to be able to monetize over the years as many of the other, the secular trends that Gurdeep talked to, continue to sort of devalue those end user capabilities. Everyone is sort of expecting those things to be free. And a lot of times they're sort of consumer weight services that people can use for particular types of communications. And those are spreading, but they don't ever really address the enterprise needs for that full degree of control. And so again, our ability to have this great end user value, this great end user experience that everybody's familiar with and is easy to get up to speed and learn, that's all great. Where the money is still in IT in the enterprise who will pay for those premium fees and services for that control. And so in order to do that, again, we need to give them the ability to manage and control that network. So let me bring in another detail and talk about sort of what are the voice offers or what are the products that really driving those offers into the future. So on the Skype side, we have the existing Skype in, Skype out capabilities. These are very, narrowly designed. They were sort of intentionally designed from the beginning of Skype to not be regulated services. There's no ability to have a single number that I can dial in and out of. There's no way of really managing a policy or a team for a business around different Skype clients. And that's gonna stay the same. We're not really making any investments to make this personal, individual product a better fit for businesses. That's not the goal. But we're still gonna maintain that. It's still a great optional service that allows us to continue to grow the public network at the pace that we have been. On the business side, we really see this idea of, again, an integrated offer, being able to put a standard out there that isn't just about link. Again, it's got a tablet or a telephone in that bundle. It comes with other services. But we really want to for partners to be able to take that platform and deliver a fairly straightforward, standardized voice service. We've begun bringing PSTN into Link Online. The first set of partners that we worked with in Europe at the end of last year, including Vodafone and Telenor and KPN, are starting to roll this out. And as Gurdeep said, it's something that we want to continue to make available for more and more partners to be able to sell their PSTN or other PSTN services when they sell Link Online. And again, that's going to be, in the way that we see that unfolding, as Gurdeep talked about today, the goal is to really enable global reach. And so the ability to call in and dial out as an end user feature. It's not offering, as you can see, the administrative and management capabilities and functionality that a true, quote, enterprise voice solution would have. With Link Online and PSTN coming, or before that, in lieu of that, we have the Link Hosting Pack for hosters to run that same service themselves and to be able to extend and customize and differentiate that. Really, the goal or where we see the traction is around building that high volume service with relatively simple functionality. Yes? So
maybe call it business voice?
Business voice is the working title, I would say, for what we're trying to do. We're caught in the sort of text terminology that we created, which has not served us well, since if you compare this to the statement Tony Bates made last year that said, we're going to have all of this stuff, the full Link server capabilities, we'll just plop that in our cloud in a year or so. Turns out that's not as easy as it may have seemed at one point. And also, it became very clear that just adding the functionality wouldn't really address all of the requirements the customer needs in terms of ensuring quality of service over the public internet or all of that. So we very explicitly stayed away from the term enterprise voice, and we will continue to avoid, certainly with Link Online and PSTN, we're going to avoid using that in lieu of something like business voice. I don't want, it's not a trademark term. At the moment, but along those lines, we're going to continue to make it clear that this is more of a small group oriented solution versus a full enterprise set. So let me talk. I've gone to the business side. Let me talk about the enterprise for now, because explicitly to that point, it became clear that we were not going on a path to have all of the feature set ported over, as well as being able to sort of close that last mile with the network and other requirements. We decided, we need to double down and make sure that all of our Link server deployments, especially those in more complicated hybrid deployment scenarios, get the full attention and support that they need. So we've doubled down on our investments internally around support, both technically and from a business perspective, around how we help managed and hosted Link server deployments. And a big part of that, though, is how that, we want to get away from a world where we were 3 or 4 years ago when it was about on-prem. And that's not the point either. This is about a server technology that can be hosted and managed as a service on behalf of a customer. And that's really what we're trying to go with. And as part of that, we see that Office 365 is very much part of the enterprise decision-making checklist that they have to go through. And in many cases, for certain types of users, they're very happy to put Exchange Online or use SharePoint for some of their remote sites or, again, just get the Office Pro Plus subscription. A lot of value, and we want to make sure, again, that the Link server deployments and those that are using the full enterprise voice feature set who need that also have the advantages of being able to consume any of the Office 365 services. So it's nice and clean, kind of big blocks here. Obviously, it's not quite, in any particular customer, they're going to have their preferential mix of, what types of users or workloads are happy to go into the public cloud versus a private cloud versus stay in, under control on premises. My kind of closing comment here, if I look at the work, Satya Nadella, our new CEO's kind of flagship work previously was in our server and tools and operating system business. And He's had a very great influence across the company of pushing forward this vision of what we call the Cloud OS, which allows customers the flexibility and choice of running in their data center, in a service provider data center, or Microsoft, whatever is the best fit. And again, I want to kind of reemphasize the point that for many partners, historically, for many hosting partners, they've seen our Office 365 service as a competitive solution. And we want to open it up in such a way and give you the incentives and tools to really take that as just another piece of your portfolio that you can offer to customers. And again, because in requirements vary dramatically across user groups and workloads, and in some cases, some enterprise customers may want to use Link Online. But in many cases, that's not, you know, it's certainly not going to meet all their needs, and we need to give you a platform and a portfolio that lets you address this full spectrum. Make sense?
So you're going to allow service providers to offer Office 365 to large organizations?
In print, yes, if I understand the question correctly. We certainly think that Office 365 is a valid, viable option for certain enterprise, you know, users, and we want partners to be able to participate in that sale, deployment, and support. Of that. Again, as not the only option, but as a portfolio or a range that really meets the broadest set of market needs.
That's why changes that you've seen that you really wanted to own relationships with large enterprise customers
who wanted opportunities to provide media. Yeah, well, no, let me, so specifically on the enterprise, if I think about it from a go-to-market perspective, our principle here is that that is a joint engagement. And let me contrast that with the business side. A joint engagement means we have, you know, enterprise agreements with 70% of the, you know, the Fortune 1000. We have an existing relationship with them and a way of buying, and again, a whole set of kind of process and efforts set up to maintain those strong customer relationships with our enterprise customers. But we see it as a mutual engagement with partners. In the enterprise, again, they might buy their Office 365 service on EA, but they might buy their network connectivity and support from you. They're going to have two bills. They're going to be served, you know, by both of us. So it's very much a joint engagement where we need to do the account planning and we need to handhold to make sure that we have, again, those enterprise customer requirements are very stringent and can, you know, put a lot of pressure on both of us to sort of figure out how best to solve that. But that's our goal in the enterprise, is to work with you jointly to go and address those customer requirements.
So if there was a customer who wanted a service provider to provide Office 365 and provide that contractual perspective, that's something
you I'd put it this way. There's nothing in principle that where that couldn't happen, or that a customer may choose to go and get everything from one provider, and you are the sole provider of the licenses all the way through to the service. It's unlikely, though, that just from a pricing and management perspective, the enterprise agreement that a lot of these larger customers have allow them to get the, you know, incredible discounts. Sometimes partners make that up and say, okay, well, I'll take a cut on this side because I'm getting more revenue on that side, and as a package, I can make the customer a really attractive option. But when you look at it very narrowly, we don't want to put ourselves in a position where really we have a channel conflict where our team's trying to sell an enterprise agreement and your team's trying to sell a syndication or open sort of program. It might work. There are certainly some customers who would be happy to do that, but from a broad sales motion, I'd say we really want to work on a joint account where in most cases they can buy the licenses from us at the cheapest cost and the service and support from you at your best price. Now, I will say that the model of the motions looks very different in small and mid-sized businesses, where it's much more of a direct sale. The customer really demands, well, you know, one throat to choke, so to speak, and they want it all integrated. They want it in one simple fashion. And so that's going to be something that partners are going to be able to go and lead that sale and to be able to put it on their bill, to be able to run everything themselves. But we're also going to be able to, you know, that's just going to be a service that's available on office365.com directly to any customer that comes in. and they're going to be able to get some of those services from Microsoft. Now, it won't be the same bundle and package that you're able to put together, but it'll be a standard service that we'll offer. Because again, in that market, we just think it's about having a really simple packaged product that one person can, you know, that you know who you're getting it from, and you don't have any of the complexity of multiple providers, et cetera. Yeah. Yes, sir.
So then it would be up to the providers to have like all the provisioning tools, like admin managers and those kinds of things. And I would assume that like somebody who is already doing Exchange Online, well, not Exchange Online, but like, you know, hosted Exchange. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, Michael, do you want to talk about the sort of control panel, sort of where we are at both with online and MOSI and hosted?
Yeah. So I think you'd have to look at the service provider position a couple of different ways. One, you're going to have a syndication agreement with Microsoft if you're reselling Office 365, in which case you integrate into our commerce platform. So you've got access, administrative access to your users, your provisioning users, you're provisioning services against your users directly for your user. You're the single point of contact. Your integration is, as I said, into that commerce platform. If you're hosting, then any tools you have are fine. What we typically see is as you expand that scope of what your hosting offerings are, then you'll move and work towards somebody who potentially specializes in control panels, who can abstract some of the complexities and details associated with, say, specifically Link, or could be Exchange, or could be SharePoint, and presents the service provider with a more cost-optimized administrative model. You know, you don't have to pay an engineer to provision users. Service provider, or there are other third parties, you know, ISV-type groups that can develop control panels. Yeah, yeah. Does that kind of answer your question? But there's the two market segments in the way that you're going to do, well, not market segments, two go-to-market motions. The one go-to-market motion syndication, the other go-to-market motion is standalone.
And we are, just well, hosting, to but, sort of add on that point, we're increasingly providing more access, let me put it that way, for our partners who do resell Office 365, not just so that they can administer on behalf of a customer, but also get analytics and insights around usage, and deploy adoption, and really just giving you more of a control panel or dashboard from a partner perspective about what's happening with your customers that are using Link Online. So that's something we'll continue to roll out and support. But it doesn't, I don't think at any point we're ever going to get to, you know, we're not going to be offering a sort of control panel ourselves, which will address all of your hosted and other types of needs. We recommend that you look at the sort of the main ones in the market.
I mean, we have control panels. They're just designed by engineers for engineers. It creates a different cost model from an operational cost standpoint.
Great. So let me move on a little bit and talk about sort of the building blocks and the opportunities for partners. So as I said before, you know, in our traditional environment, our traditional ecosystem a number of years ago, the focus was on helping large customers deploy Link Server in their environment. And it might be a little bit around rolling out the clients to the desktops and a lot of heavy lifting on that side. It's a secular trend to say that the value of deploying and running the servers is continuing to decline. And whether it's Amazon Web Services or Google or Azure and Rackspace and others, it's something that we are going to be one of the top providers in the world in terms of scale of offering hosted services. And we think that we can offer some of those benefits to you as well. But it's also, again, with Link Server still remaining the key to, the preferred choice for enterprise voice deployments, there is still some, there is still value in being able to do that, but it's really only one piece, one tiny slice of the overall value chain that we have to solve and address for a customer. So, yes, there will be cases where you're using Link Online And you're not going to get paid for that deployment service because the servers are already up and running. So we're trying to, again, paint this picture that most of the value is migrating away from that activity into more customized or premium services. And so especially, you know, planning, design, assessments, that upfront work, which can often be sort of skipped over or skimped, if you look at it, you know, across the life cycle from the initial solution assessment, the network assessment, the adoption workshop, all of these sort of ancillary services really add a lot of value to make sure the customer gets a well-performing system at the end of the process. And again, open up a lot of more of professional services and other opportunities in the, you know, from the beginning all the way through to the run state. But more importantly, as I would say, you know, the support, we are, you know, of course, we support Link as a product, as a company. It's impossible for us to get away from that and tell a customer that, no, we can't support you. So we do provide support for the Link system. What we don't do is any of the other pieces, the things that always, again, sort of the complexity of having different hardware and gateways and devices sort of all wrapped together, we can't troubleshoot and answer those problems because we don't have insight into what's happening in the rest of the network. So it's still a great opportunity for a partner to be able to, again, take the core services that we can provide or that you can leverage through Premier and get your own direct tier three access to our support engineers, and then resell that solution and that offer to your customer base. And again, it's backed by Microsoft, but you're the, you know, you're tier one and tier two for the for that customer and being able to sort of manage the problems that, that come up. Incredibly valuable piece of the puzzle. And so we'll continue to provide guidance and support and more reference around how to integrate and how to keep these different components working together. But as I said, we'll never be in the position to fully support a customer deployment ourselves, and that will remain a great partner opportunity. As well as, like I say, the network services. You know, I could spend the rest of the hour talking about value-added services, particularly around customization and other things, but I've got a little time at the end where we can explore some of those other ways of differentiating and sort of building the business. But, you know, as I said, I know there was some concern about, you know, how much it was, are we planning to sort of take on all of this ourselves and exclude partners from this opportunity. And as I said, we have a lot of assets and a lot of strength, which we're going to bring to bear. But we think overall there's still a lot of open space and a lot of customer value that you can deliver on top of that to help us both be successful. And then as sort of another look at this, this comes from a study from Forrester, which looks at, you know, again, what are the building blocks, what are the sort of the margin opportunities in these different buckets, and again, where should I focus? I will say from my own experience, it's very hard for us to kind of put these, I mean, I appreciate that these sort of big numbers and broad statements aren't particularly useful for you in building your own specific business case. Again, it's very dependent on what you monetize, what your overall business model is, how well you work, you know, with other partners to outsource or bundle the full set of services. But we do, again, there's especially, you know, some rich money to be made, and not every, when I've talked to partners, I generally find there's one or two of these areas where they just sort of haven't been thinking because it's not particularly core to their business. And so again, we want to suggest you look at that whole portfolio of services that you can bring to your customer, because there is money all around, you know, in all of those different aspects. And it is about putting that portfolio together that helps you get, you know, healthy margins and success from your sales. Now, as I mentioned before, I really want to encourage, or just to help you think or open your mind to the possibility of using Office 365 as part of your own service and offerings. So this slide comes from also another Forrester study, this one more recently, just in 2012, that talks about what happened, you know, does Office 365, even if I'm just using Exchange, does that eliminate the partner opportunity? And so what they found was there's actually quite a lot, I'll just go through and build this out. But from the beginning, you know, from planning deployment all the way through, you know, management and changes, there is still a lot of customer value and premium services to get, even if you're not hosting, you know, everything yourselves. So I put this up here again, not to say that, you know, your numbers will look exactly the same or that this is definitely the direction that you should go, but we're going to continue to add resources and improve the incentives and the programs to help partners be successful with using Office 365 as part of their portfolio. And again, this is if you want to go on Office 365 and just look for the Forrester report, you'll be able to get this in more detail. So let me talk a little bit here about what I think are some of the more interesting value-added opportunities or things that you could invest in that could really drive, again, both differentiating yourself from the standard services and ways that you can really start to grow scale. I'll start with this one, really looking at vertical communities and vertical or business networks. So one of the best examples I've seen of this is in the healthcare space, where often you'll have you'll have a main hospital or healthcare system that is a large enterprise, requires all of the, you know, full capabilities and functionality. But don't just stop there or think about, well, how do I sell to that hospital? Because that hospital is the hub of a much larger network of suppliers and vendors and doctors and nurses' offices and this whole ecosystem that all their jobs depend on communicating, collaborating with that hospital. And whether that's, you know, federation of video conferencing and telepresence, whether that's specific vertical applications, you know, for patient management or outreach, there is a lot of value in being able to, again, take the basic network that we're helping to build and to say, hey, for this particular industry, look at what I as a service provider can do to help you work better with the people in your network. And so looking at way, you know, everybody's got, you know, if you don't specialize vertically, if it's in a particular geographical area or otherwise, any one customer you have is just one node of a much larger network. And being able to figure out how do I kind of change my position or my offer so that it's not just about going to one customer after another, but saying to the entire community, here's a solution that you can use more broadly. It's been really interesting in sort of accelerating deals and bringing in ancillary customers without much kind of effort to go out and sort of drum up new business. So again, just something that I want to kind of point to. It's a little different than what I'd say is sort of more of our generic developer platform story. But Link increasingly is being used to embed communications into business, more generic business process and workflow. So line of business applications, whether that's, you know, in the contact center, obviously, and sales and marketing work, but all the way through, in manufacturing, in design, financial services. Everybody's got an application that, again, is often a database of information that one person needs to take and translate or inform someone else about that information. And Link can make those workflows incredibly easy and efficient. Another example I'll give you of the two is in with a real estate agency based out of Seattle that uses Link through their workflow to take a process or to take a contract from initial kind of plan and through escrow and all of the different stages. And rather than just sort of sending a fax like they used to and hoping somebody picks it up and answers it and fills out the forms and send it back, they use Link Presence to be able to find the next available person who can solve that problem. It's automatically routed to them. They click and do their things. It's automatically routed to the next stage of the process. And at any point, you can see the people and communicate directly with someone to find, to answer a question or to get more information. And it's cut down their processing time from weeks to days. And so that kind of stuff, when you can build a business case around that and show a customer how they can take 30% or more out of, cost savings or time out of their business, incredibly, much easier to build a business case and show the work, why they should invest here. So again, I'll make a call out to our ISV partners who have already invested in some of these vertical applications or other integration. We have a showcase on link.com. If you haven't already seen it, if you go to link.com, you'll see a solution catalog, I believe it's called, and that includes all of our qualified hardware and applications that have been built for Link. So I encourage you to go and check out. I mean, it was fascinating to me to see just all the different, you know, business applications, IT applications, you know, vertical solutions that have already been made and that you can take and help customize and make it available to your customers. Another point around your ability to support that network and provide the sort of quality of service that you need. Michael, do you want to talk a little bit about what they can do here and some of the new things that we have?
Yeah, so I think a lot of you have familiarity with Link to some extent. You probably understand technically that I'm going to go technical, but that's what I'm here for. So we have two federation edges. We have an audio federation edge, which is through the mediation server and gives you the PSTN. But then we have PSTN federation, and then we have audio video federation, which is more of you can find your contacts. And they use two different networks as well. So typically PSTN federation going to use a SIP trunk, maybe it's going to go through a gateway and use a PRI or a BRI or something of that nature. But predominantly we're seeing customers who are deploying Link and are kind of building communities through federation to have these deeper, richer conversations with their partners, with their customers, with their suppliers, and with other entities, for HR capabilities, et cetera. So when you're a service provider, I've got service provider background, so I'm not just assuming some of these things. But MPLS has great value, provides a secure network, absolutely get it, quality of service capabilities. But there's usually some type of quality of service or service level assurance around an on-net type of service. So when you're looking around optimizing network and support, you can also build it into actual customer acquisition activities and creating more value for your service. So say, for example, we go back to the regional hospital idea and say that there's clinics that are remote or something. You're trying to build your user base, and what is your value proposition? Well, if you understand how Link works, you can potentially go out and canvas that market and say, hey, did you know that this major hospital uses us for internet? And by the way, they have Link, and you're needing to communicate with them regularly. They might say, yeah, it's great, but yeah, Link, it's kind of on and again, off again. It kind of works sometimes. We can't maybe use certain feature functionality, like real-time feature functionality. But then maybe your proposition is, well, if you come on-net onto our internet service, well, then all of a sudden, we're going to give you guarantees. Now, we aren't going to queue and do prioritization, potentially, but if you size it correctly, it's going to be a great experience. It's going to be an on-net experience with latency, packet loss, availability goals, and you differentiate yourself from maybe some of the smaller regional providers who are creating a headache for you because they're picking up some of this business that you might not be as attentive to. Now, in actual monetization of that, I think there's a lot of interesting things on net neutrality right now, at least in the United States. But the value proposition of having a single platform that you can enable these different rich communications experiences upon, and that you can, maybe you don't do we're going to cue your voice over that, but do a little bit of coaxing through different services and potential cost models to address these markets to get them on a common platform is I believe it's a big differentiator, and I believe that's a good way to start growing some revenue as well. And it's purely based upon functionality that we have enabled in Link.
And this, if you could talk a little bit about, there's a lot of sessions here this week about software-defined networking. Mm-hmm. And while it may be more of a cost savings than a revenue-generating option, can you say a little bit about our aspirations there?
Oh, yeah. I have huge aspirations here. So software-defined networking ultimately enables... how do I put this in a 200-level course? Well, I'll just throw it out there anyway. So network elasticity. So imagine that a user can grab their phone or grab their device or something and just not even think about it and say, wow, I'm gonna make a video call because I want to talk to so-and-so, and we got to catch up on something, or I want to see that car that they've got for sale up close, I want to see under the hood, whatever the case may be. And with this transition out of current networking capabilities, there's this concept that, hey, this application can tell the network what to do. Now, there's a development cycle to get that built into carrier infrastructure and things like that. But conceptually, you can start building, you know, you can start planning and doing some development work around this convergence between business and personal, and start now leveraging assets that you have. Like maybe you have a wireless network. You know, maybe you're a landline provider that has a wireless network. How can you merge that consumer experience into that enterprise experience, have end-to-end visibility, and monetize it? You know, I mean, that's where I think everyone wants to go with it ultimately. What we're seeing is we're seeing larger data plans, but we're still seeing best effort things. Ultimately, this software awareness and this application awareness allows you to do, allows you to kind of market things differently, monetize things differently, offer different services to different users, kind of shift spend buckets to different areas. And that's the type of thing that Microsoft can't do. You know, we can develop an API that tells you anytime a session is initiated, like, hey, these guys are about to have an audio call, so ooh, let's do something. Or it's an app sharing call or whatever the case may be. But what we can't do is we can't go ensure that that end-to-end user experience is optimized, right? And if we could, we charge for it, quite literally. But I think there's an opportunity there to continue to kind of differentiate one. You know, there's going to be a couple early movers that actually step on this and make a little bit of noise. And then two, to really deliver that service that potentially some of your competitors can't. It's a tough world. There's always going to be competitors, but whatever assets and differentiation you have, if you can somehow leverage that into creating that user experience, if you believe in it, which I think you do because you're here, then you know that creates a different revenue opportunity. We'll pivot on the revenue opportunity.
Thanks. So another big area that we see great new opportunities with is around the device ecosystem. And again, really driven obviously by the rise of mobility. I love these generic one-word phrases. But it means everything to anyone. But again, this notion that we're breaking away from our desks, the way that people are working given these new tools, especially the digital natives, that were referenced earlier. I mean, people expect and want to be able to take their productivity and have it accessible on the go. And again, not just what we thought it might be a few years ago, where everything's in a browser and we can just use a browser and go through that. And I think we're really seeing now the value of native applications and the richness that you can light up with an internet connected device that goes way beyond just what you can do in a browser. And so we have a great HTML client for Link. It allows you to, you know, reach out and share a meeting and invite anyone, whether they have a full Link client or not. They can have, they can be a full-fledged meeting participant using just the browser. That's a great reach scenario, but it's not the most interesting one. So we see much more opportunities with the Link Room systems to really excite managers and business decision makers about how they can be more productive, about how they can get more engagement from their workforce, and how they can really sort of maximize the effectiveness of their employee population. Going back, a lot of these things, are connected together. But I think about some examples that I've heard in oil and gas, for example, where they have incredible infrastructure and huge monitoring rooms and labs. Where they're working on, their operations, but then you get a leak in a pipe that's 500 miles from anywhere, and they got to send out an engineer to go and figure out what the problem is. Well, if he doesn't know the answer and he needs to get a hold of a subject matter expert back at the headquarters, does he have the ability? Can he hold his tablet up and say, "Hey, here's the problem I'm looking at. What should I do?" Those sorts of scenarios of being able to extend your workforce. Whether they're at work, at home, on the road, giving them all of those tools, giving them the devices that they need to be productive is a great upsell opportunity with just the basic service. And so again, whether you're selling, phone numbers and the calling plans that come with the smartphone, to including it, Surface tablets or other, laptops, all the way up to the, gateways to support interoperability with legacy systems, like a lot. And when you go through the sort of the requirements analysis or the solution assessment with customers. A lot of these, some of these scenarios are things will come up, and they're great opportunities to kind of add, to say, hey, well, you may not have thought you could, you know, work with those with that old system, but if you bought this, we could extend that for you. And so, again, we are very bullish. We've been very excited by the sort of the uptake and interest in the Link Room systems, and that driving a whole kind of conversation, even if it's not just about voice. It's going to drive the conversation about video conferencing, collaboration, which then means they need the devices, they need the network bandwidth, they need these additional services. So all of these things work together to kind of really drive that interest in the broader solution and ecosystem. So again, every partner is going to have a different spin on this, and we think that's great because we're going to get a lot of variation. We're going to be able to serve a tremendous, you know, a very large addressable market. But ultimately, with the idea of everybody being connected to this one universal communication service. So today, I don't even know who that key supplier is going to be next week. But as soon as I find out, I know that I can communicate and collaborate with them on that same network in that same rich way that I can with the people I used to. So, with that, I think we'll switch. That's really the end of my pitch or my kind of session. I will point this little eye chart in the slide deck where I have links and resources. So these are the kind of these are the investments that we've made in partners to help you plan your business, to help you go, you know, enable your workforce and your technical force. And these are online in the Link Conference site, just so you know. And then also to go to market and how we help. Really drive your sales and your business. And our goals internally this year, as I said, one, we got a great sales force out there. We're really building market momentum for Link, and we need to be able to attach and bring in and connect those customers with a partner who can really fulfill their end-to-end needs. And again, part of that is about helping you understand what's available, how to package it, how to build that a sort of attractive portfolio that can help drive your business. And again, giving you the sales and technical support that you need. And I know I'll address the technical side for a little bit. It's been really hard to keep up with the sort of the growth of the customer base, and it can be fairly scarce sometimes to find a really qualified Link expert. So that's an area where we've grown. I'd say the sort of net number of customers and partner companies has grown quite large, but we haven't been able to grow the sort of pool of individuals with all the right skills at the same pace. And so that's becoming really front and center for us as we think about what investments we need to make in training and certification and qualification to ensure that we continue to sort of upskill either the traditional kind of network and telephony base, or the more, people with more of the Microsoft background, and give them those tools so that they can be successful in this converging world. So, with that, let's switch to GoTo's. So here's, before you ask me questions, let me ask something of you. The most important thing that I've heard a customer ask a partner who's trying to sell them on Link, which is, do you use it? And if you don't have a good answer to that question, it's going to be a short, it's going to be a short conversation. And so a lot of people have rights to Link. Some people have deployed it in parts of their organization. But really one of the most effective things you can do to make your company a good sales and evangelist of Link is to make sure your employees are using it as well. And so again, it's not always easy or simple, but it is something to focus on. That if you are seriously convicted about being able to sell Link in the market, you should, that light bulb should go off internally for your staff about why. What's so different? Why? What is so enabling and freeing about being in a Link environment? So the second is about how you figure out your solution and how you resell your services. What that ultimately looks like is very dependent on your own strengths. So, please be aggressive about bringing those strengths to the forefront. And again, whether that's leading with a sort of a network-oriented solution or a device-oriented solution or professional services-oriented solution. You know, you're going to do best when you lead with your strengths. That's what we're going to do, you know, broadly to continue to build this momentum and get customers interested in Link. But they're going to need you to come and help them fulfill that and show them why you've got the assets to help them make that leap. And thirdly, again, I just will reemphasize this, as we really want to grow the network to billions of people, this idea of looking not at customers as individual sort of isolated deals, but as part of larger groups and networks, that you should go after the whole pie. So I, again, encourage you to think about, look at your target customer list, and if you're not already segmented around industry or vertical or geography, you know, if you look at the data, if you look at the patterns in your business, you'll find some of those cornerstones or some of those emergent networks which you could go back to and offer with and say, hey, look, let me help you all work better together. Before I am wrong again, yeah. All right. That's enough of me blabbing on. We'd love to hear from you, questions, and again, feedback. If there's something that you want that you haven't gotten, that you'd like to see, please let us know. I can't promise when and how we might get it to you, but it's it really helps us right now, you know, with our planning for this year. Kind of where do we want to put our investments? Yeah. Great. Thank you. I was just kidding about the first two rows. You guys can take comment. Well, we might either give you more time back or wait till we turn the microphones off, and then you can really ask me the questions. All right. Anything else for Michael? Going once? Going twice? All right, thank you very much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.